we're doing well tonight. Man, this thing is up here. The ever-changing church. This church changes faces so much. So much it changes faces so much. But there are some that stick. Well, I was in Mount Pilgrim today. I didn't get to preach there today, but I was there to be a part of what they were doing today. They were in revival, but I was there to see what they're about. And so we're in further communication down the road to see if they might be a good mix with us. And we'll just see how it goes. It's a little bit of a process, and so just pray for that church there and pray for us, and we'll see. And we're just kind of floating as we go. So it's about 40 minutes away from here, and it's a small church. They ran about 25. They were 31 this morning, so that was good for them. A pretty strong poverty church, just to say it that way. And but some good people, very good humble spirit with them, and they have the willingness to serve the Lord, which I had met several of them. And their building, we think our building's pretty rough. Their building needs probably about 50 gallons of paint on the outside and 30 gallons of primer first. And yeah, but the church building was given to them. And so they only had to pay back taxes. And I think it was like $3,000 of back taxes, which our association ended up picking that up. And they just kind of borrowed from them. And speaking of borrowing, we only owe $1,000 left on this building, and it's paid for. $1,000 and it's done. And we're going to talk a little bit about how good God is. But if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Exodus chapter 3 today and 4. We're going to look at this calling on Moses' life and how that worked out for him and how we can draw from that a little bit. And so I got a little bit of reading and we're going to go from there. I got a New King James Version today. I kind of been stuck on that. Like a few years ago, I was stuck on the Holman Bible for about 2 years, and I just like to switch back and forth from time to time, and I don't know, I just kind of like the New King James Version, and just kind of rolling through that. Let you know right now that Moses has got a family. He's already left Egypt because he had killed someone. He took off. Egyptian peoples were looking for him. He gets down there, and he has a new father-in-law named Jethro, and he's a priest in Midian, and he's probably financially okay at this time. He's just doing his thing, all right? This is where he is. He's just doing his thing. I'm pretty sure he's financially set. He's got his wife. He's got some children. He's just doing his thing, and then God comes along and going to mess him up. God's going to mess him up. Like God's going to mess some of you up, but some of us ain't listening. But he says this in verse 2. He says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, 'I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why this bush does not burn up.' So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him in the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.'" That's the beginning of our conversation. We have to be listeners. God draws our attention. For you, it's probably not going to be a burning bush. For you, it might be something different. A lot of times people look. I have a friend who was a pastor, actually a mentor at one time, who is a pastor, and he said when he was called to preach, he went out into the woods and said, "God, if you want me to preach, you knock this tree down." He said, "I stood out there for 3 hours, and no tree ever fell." God doesn't always give us big signs like that. As Elijah says, as God taught him a lesson, it's not always going to be on big Mount Carmels. It's going to be a still small voice. And how do we understand that still small voice? It's because of the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's the Holy Spirit. So the conversation is beginning. Verse 5. Then he said, "Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, I am the God of the Father, of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon the Lord. There's a reverence that we need. TV talks about a lot here lately. You know, when we come into church, we need to take our hats off. We need to give God some reverence. And that, and you know what? It isn't, at this point, it isn't anybody saying anything, but it is God saying, listen, you need to take those sandals off. You don't know it yet, but you're standing on holy ground. You don't know what you're standing in front of or who you're standing in front of. I'm not the God of the dead, but I'm the God of the living. And so we see this conversation, and God has a lot of patience. And Moses hid his face, and he was afraid. When we stand before the Lord, we need to have some humbleness and some humility. Sometimes we have this thing about, we just want to say, people, come as you are. We want to be that come as you are church. And that's not really what we want to be. We want people to come, and we want people to be a part of that. But, you know, it's we need to have some humbleness and humility before the Lord. Come as you are. You know, we don't have a reverence for the house of the Lord like we should. And this is not the house of the Lord. This is the Lord. And so when the Lord said in verse 7, he said, "I surely see the oppression of my people." Now, we're going to come back to this a little bit later. But he says, "My people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites," and the list goes on. God has a vision. God is beginning to share his vision. "I wanted my people to be free out of the land of Egypt and take him to the land of milk and honey." He's given the vision here. "I've come down to deliver them out of Egypt, to take him to the land of milk and honey." Okay? But down in verse 10, he says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Now God has given Moses a mission. You got it. The vision comes from God, and the mission, God begins to use us to tell us the things that we have to do to accomplish the vision. And that's the mission, okay? The same thing in the military. You're in a war, the war is to win it, to do these things, but you're given different missions. And here it is, Moses is given a mission to go back to Egypt. To go back to Egypt. Now here's where it comes to be. Many men that are called by the Lord, Lord's called them to do something. Women called them to do something. This is where people just go away. Okay? So here's what it comes. But Moses, now this is the thing. God says some great things, but we as human beings, we don't know how to talk. But Moses said to God, now I think we need to be cautious when we speak to the Lord at times. I love it that we sing, "He's a, you know, a friend of mine." You know, it's a good, you know, there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That's good. But friendship with Jesus to me is my last one in line. Maybe to you it's first. But he is king. He is a savior. He is my redeemer. He is the Son of God. He is due reverence and honor. When I start thinking friend, I start putting myself at the same level, and there is no same level. For me, I just don't see it. Especially when you look back at all he's done for you. But Moses said to God, "Who am I," in verse 11, "that I should go to the Pharaoh, and that I should bring out the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Now he's beginning to buck what the Lord has called him to do. Listen, when God calls someone to do something, there is no mistake in who God calls. He didn't call you because you got it together. He didn't call you because you got the money. He didn't call you because you got a good last name. He called you for whatever reason he called you. Okay? Moses was just out doing his thing. He thought life was set. I'm in here. I'm about as high as I can go. And I love it. And I'm away from my old problems. And you want me to go back there? That's what he was saying. But he didn't say it that way. So he said, I will certainly be with you. God says, I will be with you. I'm going to tell you, whatever God calls you to do, he'll be with you. Okay? He will be with you. And he begins to give him some signs and some things, and he says, well, and he begins to say, what is your name? And he says, I am who I am. And they have this conversation. And you got to remember, Moses is as green as the grass. When it comes to ministry work, he knows nothing. He's the educated guy from Egypt. He's a Hebrew. But when it comes to the things of ministry, he knows nothing. Okay? Sometimes we think, well, why would God call a guy like that? And they have conversation. Let's go to chapter 4. This is where I want to work on just a little bit. God is beginning to say, well, there's some signs I'm going to give you. He says, here, take this staff. He says, well, if you don't believe me, take this staff. And he says, throw it on the ground. It ends up being a snake. He picks it up and becomes a rod again. He says, oh, put your hand in your bosom right here. And pull it out. It is leprosy. Put it back in. God heals it. You think that would be enough to say, wow, God, you're amazing? Some of us asked God for a sign. Let me tell you, God's been given signs since men have been around, and we still don't want to believe. God says these are some things that's going to happen, and then Moses begins to talk again. And everything goes south when the man begins to talk sometimes. It just goes south. We struggle with it. Verse 10 of chapter 4, he says, then Moses said to the Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent. Neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow in tongue. And now the excuses are getting ready to pile up. The excuses are beginning to ready to be piled up. We do this with the Lord all the time. We do this when somebody asks us to do something in church. We do this when someone, a brother or sister, asks us to help them with something in a ministry or some task. We do this all the time. We line up our excuses. We're not good enough. I can't do this. Nobody said you had to be good enough to do anything. Okay? So he says, I am slow in speech and I am slow in tongue. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth, or who makes him mute, the deaf and seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you will say. God is speaking very basic human words to Moses. But again he says, but he said in verse 13, oh, my Lord, please send by the hand, whomever else you may send. Send somebody else. I don't want it. Well, let me tell you, you don't get to pick. I didn't pick this place. I didn't pick these ministers. I didn't pick that. I had my own plan. And that was a good plan. So I thought. And I was running with it. And I had that little moment where I'm doing my thing, and then he didn't call me Moses. He just said, Jimmy. Jimmy, I'm like, what? And you get in that conversation. I said the same thing. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't know enough. You know, at this point, God understands and knows that Moses doesn't, he's calling him to go, here's the vision. I want my people free and I want them in the land of milk and honey. Now the mission is here. I want you to go to Egypt. You got to do these things. But he didn't understand. Did God tell him about, well, there's going to be a moment there where you're going to come up on this Red Sea and you guys are going to fret for a while? He didn't tell him about that, did he? He didn't tell him about, oh yeah, by the way, you and me is going to have a conversation on the mountain of God and I'm going to give you these great things called the Ten Commandments. He didn't tell him that, did he? He didn't tell him also that, well, when you go down there, they're going to be in a mess. Oh yeah, by the way, when you get up to the promised land, you're going to send some spies out there and they're going to come back and it's going to be a big no-go. Do you think God knew that was going to happen? And he didn't tell him We'll get there. We love the things that God's about, don't we? God is love, merciful. Hey, I can bend down. Merciful and peaceful, flowing with all forgiveness and all that. But I want you to know that God also can get angry. Verse 14, so the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. We today, in this generation, we think the Lord doesn't get angry. Because we preach so much on all the good things, and that's good. But I want to let you know that I think God has gotten angry with me a few times. I think God has gotten angry with me a few times. When I bucked his system, I bucked things that he... And I just didn't listen. I kept doing my own. I think God got angry with me a few times. And so thankful that I am not getting what I deserve. And so it says that the Lord's anger was kindled. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And so he begins to tell him that, you know what, I'm going to give you your brother. Your brother, actually, he's going to be, his heart is great, and he's happy that he's going to see you. He will be excited. I want to tell you, God knows you can't do these missions on your own. God knows you can't do it all on your own. Now, I want to tell you, when we look at this story, we went kind of fast through the story, but I want you to understand and know that God calls people that we sometimes would least expect. We got this thing in the world. The world does it all by education, status, finance. In the church has kind of gotten some of that too. Get your finances in order for the church. You got to have so many prayer partners, so many people to start a church. So, everything in your family's got to be right. You can't do it because you got this problem and all those things. Listen, God calls a man when God calls a man. When God calls a church to do something, he's called a church to do something. I look at this story and it kept hitting me that God called us to start this thing called New Life Fellowship. And it is here and it's now close to that 16 mark, I can't remember now. Anyway, we're getting there, right? Yeah, 16 years because we just celebrated 15 last year. God never said, okay, Jimmy, when you guys get it together, you're going to move about 5 times in the first 10 years. He didn't say that. He didn't say that somebody came up to me and said, listen, either your wife's leaving or I'm leaving, and all these bashes that a lot of females did in the very, very beginning with me and all those kind of things. No, he never told me that. He never told me that some guys were going to say some things and were going to cut me a little bit because they were talking about my kids. They weren't going to say, God did not tell me that we were going to have some bashing moments from time to time. He didn't tell me that we were going to start building ministries. Because what he had to have in the beginning was this. Listen to me, this is the key. He needed you to say, yes, I'll do it. He needed you to commit to him. It's a commitment to him and a trust with a faith that whatever he said, he will do. He told Moses, I will be with you through all of this. And as we grew, even at New Life Fellowship, he begins to trust us with a little bit more. And in 2005, I'm just sharing this with Beth just a little bit. In 2005, God gave us a vision. Gave me a vision right down in that southern part, that south side of Atlanta, in a neighborhood I should not have been in a hotel I should not have been in. But it was okay. But it was in that night when God told me to build, New Life is created to do these things. And a matter of fact, before I even came to Huntington to start New Life, between churches, whatever, God told me that when I was first called, because I wanted to do a second chance home for boys, he says, you're going to do something, but it will be much bigger than that. He never gave me anything else, because you know why? I wouldn't have been able to handle it. Moses was not going to be able to handle that. If he said, well, by the way, when you get down there and you're going to run from them, you're going to have the Egyptians coming after you, and you're going to be right in front of a sea. And it looks like, because that looks like a no-win situation. God loves it when we get in those no-win situations and we call out to him. It's us calling out to Him, not calling out to a financial, not calling out to everyone else, but calling out to Him. So in 2005, God gave us one of the most awesome visions I think I've heard, at least in Indiana. Did He choose the most wealthiest church? Oh, no. Did He choose the most educated church? Nope. Did He choose the most educated pastor? Nope. He chose who He chose. And He knows why. And so the vision, and we brought the vision back, and people were excited about it, and we got two couples that are still left from that vision. But God has never fretted over numbers. Lord, forgive me, I do at times. But He never frets over, as TB says, nickels and noses. It's the first thing He tried to teach me, and I'm still trying to learn it 20 years later. Because we talked about it before I even was pastoring. God chooses who He chooses. And so with this whole thing with these ministries, as we began to grow, and it was around in there, we began to get these height of numbers. We began to pack up the numbers with people. We had good families, families of four, mom and dad and some kids, and those kind of things. But as each one of these ministries began to bloom, to be birthed, we began to lose them. We kept a few, but when we started the Women's Life House, we lost a bunch. Because people don't like messy things. People are going to church to get what they want. They are going to church to get comfortable, to get the, you're doing okay, to be encouraged week after week, and just be puffed up with a bunch of hot air, what I call it. And so as we grow to the next one, I don't know what God's going to do. Maybe we'll lose a couple more families. I don't know. But God never promised that this church would be this big, magnificent, numbered church. I mean, we got a building that's falling apart. I'm going to let you know God knows that. But I think, and I'm not being boastful, but I think that if Jesus walked through this town, He'd come and visit this church. I think He would come down here and He'd visit this church and He'd show us how to preach and how to teach and all those things. But I'll tell you, He would spend His time with people. With brokenness. Not all up there with the country club. Not all up there with the most educated. Now I think that we need to have churches like that. But they need to make sure they're in vision what God's called them to do. God did not call it. God did not say, grow a church. He don't call churches to grow a church. That's the same thing what Dan was talking about. People didn't grow the church. The Holy Spirit worked upon people, and those people became saved, and then churches came out of that. Not because of people, but because of what the Holy Spirit did. Do I want to see more faces? Does TB want to see? Randy, we want to see more faces here? Yes, Columbia City does too. But that can't depict on who we are. That can't lead us to who we are. We need to follow what the vision of God's called us to do. This is the end. This is the end. I-N-N for the Good Samaritans to come in here and bring people in. As Brother Matthew says, he says, listen, anybody that comes down to serve at New Life in Huntington needs to be called because you're not going to make it if you aren't. Because it's rough here. This ministry is hard. This place is tough. And I'll say it because I used to not want to say it that way, but it is hard. Because you're pulled in 10 different directions. And the devil works overtime on this place. Overtime. He's beating on the pastors and the leaders all the time. Constantly. Almost like you're just, your head's in the water and you just think you're going to be out and then you'll just get this moment to go up and get an air and then you're down, back down again. And it's hard. This is why sometimes people say, Lord, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. Pick somebody else. Choose someone else. And so when we picked up the Women's Life House, we lost 4 or 5 couples. But none of them were involved in ministry when they left. Some of them were involved in ministry while they were here, but when they left, prior to, they really wasn't. Most of them wasn't. And if they were, their hearts weren't focused. You can't take your eye off the vision. If you take your eye off the vision, you'll be following something else. Because we follow things. We follow something. Lost people follow something. They follow that ritual of going down to the bar every Friday night. They follow that ritual of doing these other things. But we have a ritual ourselves. Worship the Lord God Almighty. And we want to be in the house of the Lord on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights. And we try to get here on Wednesday nights. And we try to stay focused. That's the importance of what God has called us to do. But that can't be it. God's called us to do more. He's given us a task. Listen to me. It's bigger than us. So we got to know we can't do it on our own. We can't do it without God. We have a house we're going to have to renovate. I don't know how it's going to get done, but I know that He does. Because He called us to do it. As long as we're pushing forward, He continues to supply it. He'll continue to do those things. But this group of people that Moses led up, here's what we do. If we go back to chapter 3 and verse 7, God says something that is very, God understands something that Moses didn't understand. God needed to tell Moses in this particular way. Because it would have been too much weight. This is just a little piece here that might show you why God doesn't tell us things. He says in verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. He's saying, I know these people have got a lot of pains and sorrow, but this is what the Lord says. They're my people. So he took that off of them. He took that off of Moses, because Moses could not, he wasn't going to grasp that at the time. He wasn't going to grasp it at the time at all. Now, it may not make sense to you until you turn over to Exodus chapter 32. I've got a different Bible tonight, so I'm working through it. Okay, so here it is in chapter 3. Verse 7, he says, go down, and they're going to be my people. I heard my people. So in chapter 32, verse 7, okay, Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments. He's coming down, but this is what happens while he's up there. And the Lord said to Moses, go get down. He said, go get down for your people. He calls them your people now. These are your people. Before, God said, these are my people. Now, over here, now he's got some tenure in ministry. Now he's got some experience getting his hand, experience seeing God move in the miracles that only God can do. And the belly aching, and we know they've been called stiff-necked people all through this. And here's what happens. The Lord says this, Moses, you know, Moses don't know what's going on. He can't be in, he's in one place at one time. He's up there with the Lord. And he says, you need to go and get down because your people, what? My people, okay, my people, what's he say about them? He says, for your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. We don't like responsibility like that. This is why so many people leave the ministry, leave churches like this, because you are responsible. There's a commitment and responsibility. You understand, just for a moment, think about the responsibilities that you have in this church. Just for a moment. Now take that up another level. Think about the guys that are preaching. Think about the responsibilities that this leadership has. He's walking. Sees a fire. God calls him over. He says, my people are in a mess. I'm picking you to go get them out. Take them to the land of milk and honey. On the way to the milk and honey, the people mess it all up. Build themselves a golden calf. And God says, go down and get your people and straighten it out. My people. You know what? Moses goes down. Straightens it out. Then later on down the road, he ends up and they send the spies in. 10 spies come back. Says, we can't do this. There's giants in the land. Turns around and Joshua and Caleb says, we can do this thing. Let's get her done. Let's get her done. Let's get her done. And they said, well, now we want to pick a new leader. Now, don't you think that some of those people that left, and maybe in your own mind, you thought you needed a new leader because you think you need a new pastor. You want to know how to keep safe with the Lord? Don't speak about God's anointed. I'm going to leave it at that. We're not special, but God is special. Okay? They're standing up on the line, and God says, I'm done with these people. They're stiff-necked people. Moses, I'm going to destroy them. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it all through you now. But Moses, now he's even got more tenure in. He's got more experience. He's sweated with these people. He's got skin in the game. He says, Lord, no, don't do this to the people. Don't do it. And the Lord relented because how Moses interceded for them. He never interceded for them at the burning bush. He didn't even intercede for them really at the golden calf. He went down and they destroyed those who were following the golden calf. Just took care of business with a mighty hand. Here now he understands and knows the pain. He began to love people. Even people that were stiff-necked and broken-hearted. And oh my, this is why the Bible says that Moses was the most humble man at the time in the world. It wasn't at the burning bush. It wasn't at the golden calf. It was at that moment when God was going to destroy those people. And he got in there and he said, no. And he began to tear off. And this is the cool part that I love. God says, this is what's going to happen. For the 40 days that they went in, it's going to be a year. They're going to wander in the desert. But there's a couple of guys. There's one named Caleb. He has a different spirit about him. Joshua, he's going to make it too. Joshua never knew it. He was always standing outside the tent taking care of business. And there's times he wanted to do things that were not. And God said, Moses says, are you jealous, Joshua? Busted him right out. And you know what? All this time, what was going on with Joshua? He was walking around with Moses, standing outside the tent, doing all those things. He did not realize that there was going to be a day God's going to say, you're it. His instructions were different. You need to be strong and courageous. Why? Because he's like, I can't put those sandals on a Moses. I am not that man. God said, no, you're not. But you need to be strong and courageous. Kept saying, you're strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. And they went in. Now listen, we're going to come back around to this. They went into the land after those 40 years. And the only two old guys there was Joshua and Caleb. Everybody else went in young. Now here's what I want to say. I was hoping all the young people would be here tonight. You don't get out of the work because you're young. Matter of fact, the hard work was done by the young people right through Jericho. 20s and down. And we don't think we can use 20-year-olds. God doesn't look at things like we do. But here's what I'm looking at. When I look at the burning bush, if he would have just said no, I think a lot of guys are called to the pulpit. I think a lot of guys are called to do certain things. A lot of women are called to do certain things, whether it's missionary work or going to children's ministry. You know, listen to me. There's times when you go into children's ministry because you just need some. You need to fill a spot and it needs to be taken care of. But there's a difference when you get somebody that does that and then somebody that's called to it. When you get somebody that's called to it, they never miss. They're always this passionate. They go home, they pray and all those things. But what are you called to? What are you called to? I'm not saying you're going to have this miraculous, burning fire experience. But there's something that speaks. We say, well, I don't hear from the Lord. Yes, you just need to listen. The Lord, the Holy Spirit speaks. He's given us spiritual gifts and talents. And they were going to build this big ark, this ark of covenant and the mercy seat and all that. Listen, they didn't know what they were going to do. But the Bible says that God visited some of these guys and gave them the skills and the talents and giftedness to get her done. And they got it done. God is still doing these things. Listen, we are a people. In the beginning, I never thought about it being my people or us. I just thought it was a congregation. But as you draw and you begin to understand, and you shed tears and you're getting happy and you share your joys with one another, and you become bonded and you become a family into there, it becomes not about you or me, it becomes about us. But here's the big thing. Why did God call us to do this? Because he wanted to have an impact in Huntington. Not with Upwards Basketball. He's got Upwards Basketball taken care of with somebody. He's got these other club things taken care of. Okay, he's got that. But he wanted somebody. He wanted a church, a group of people that would not look at the color of the skin of someone, not look at the color of the name brand of the clothes, not look at what they drove in, when they walked in. Regardless, they would just look at him as a human being. That if you come as you are, it's okay. But you don't leave as you came. God is not done with New Life. I'm telling you, you bring in any kind of church strategist would come in here and say, you got problems, you got to deal with it. Because you know what they'll look at? The people in the seats. They'll look at the finances. You can't borrow any money because you're only here. And I've said, I would say this, now are you done talking? Because I'm going to tell you some things. I'm going to tell you some God stories. I'm going to tell you how some people's lives have been changed since they've been part of New Life Fellowship. I'm going to tell you how some families have been changed through the ministries and through the church of New Life Fellowship. But again, I want to tell you, there's a group of people that walked up to the promised land, poked their head in it, poked it back out, and they wondered for 40 years. I want to tell you right now, there's some church members out there wandering in the desert today. And they can be mad all they want about someone or about me or whatever, but listen. We need to be cautious when we get mad. We need to be cautious. When we leave a church, people say, well, God's called me to this church. And then they say, well, God's called me to lead you. I've heard this from several people. God's called us to leave the church. And I look at it, they never went anywhere. Because God did not call them to leave. God did not call them to leave. Listen, the Lord weighs heavy on our hearts. When he calls us to do something, is it not heavy? Until we do it, it's going to be heavy. When we sin, it's heavy and we know it. It's heavy until we deal with it. If God calls us to leave, you know what? A true believer will say, I don't want to leave. I love you guys. I got my roots here. This is where I've shed my tears. This is where I've shed my problems. This is where I've learned about Jesus. I don't want to leave, but if he calls me to leave, I'm going to leave. But should be a little bit of a nudge not to go. Wouldn't there? This is why the boys, the disciples had to go, because they loved the being together. They were strong together. The Holy Spirit had persecuted to get them out there to do that big vision that God wanted, but they kept sticking together. So where are we at on this story? Where are we at with this whole thing? God's calling people. God's calling, still calling people to do things. God's still calling people to come to Christ. But also know this. You don't get from the burning bush to the promised land in a day. It is a journey. And I want to tell you, if you do it God's way, I'm just saying it, it's going to be hard, but it's right. Because God is going to test you while you're out there. God's going to test you while you're on your journey to see if you are who you say you are, to see if you're as strong as you look like you are. They had a big test standing up to the Red Sea. And what did a lot of them do? Oh, we need to go back. You see, when you take your eyes off the vision, you always put it on the rearview mirror. If you take off where you're going, you're always looking back. If you're looking back, you can't look forward. The devil is always yelling at you from the rear. And God's always saying, come. What's he say? Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Come unto me. Follow Jesus. He says, boys, on the boat, follow me. Jesus is always about going forward. Satan's always about pulling you back. We got to quit looking back. We got to keep going forward. Here's my plug tonight. God's not done with New Life. I don't care what the numbers are. He's not done. Because he has a vision that's bigger than we are. Is God going to bless in certain ways with people and finances and those kinds of things down the road? I don't know. I like to see that happen. Let me give you one more piece. God told Moses at the burning bush that when you go in there, listen, you're not going to leave empty-handed. You go and tell them ladies to go to their neighbors and give them, and they plunder. They're going to plunder Egypt, which means all the riches are going to be in their wagons and they're going to go out. I want to tell you something. They gave it all away. Because they went to Aaron and said, we want a new God. And they went financially, to me, bankrupt. Took all their golden earrings and everything off, and he made this goofy-looking calf, and they went up and they worshipped it. I think a lot of churches are doing that today, putting their funds in things that are not godly. Christians are doing the same thing. And it pulls us away from the vision that God's called us to do. We're not done yet. God's called us to do a men's shelter and an orphanage. I know that. I know those are two more pieces. I don't know what else, because God doesn't always tell you sometimes. But we got enough on our plate. But God also knows he's going to be with us and he'll take care of those things. But I'm asking you, do you pray about our ministries? Do you pray about the people in the church that don't look like you? Do you pray for the church to be able to keep moving forward? Do you pray about your commitment at the church, the commitment to the Lord as you begin to serve here? I know many of you serve and you serve very strongly, but the Bible says that the harvest is ready, where the workers are few, that we need to pray to the Lord of the harvest. We need to pray that he'll send some workers because we need some workers. Our workers, a lot of our workers are getting tired. We need to pray for workers because we need to keep going forward. We need some Joshuas. We need some Calebs. All I know is this. On this journey, God has been faithful. I know that. And you know that. That he has been faithful. He has been faithful. God's not leading us out into the desert just to die. No, he's not leading us out to the desert to die. He's leading us to the things that he's called us to do. But here's the thing. When you can do what we do with what we have, it is only a God thing. And he gets the praise, but the thing is, we need to keep talking about it. We need to keep talking about what God is doing. What God is doing. And God's doing a lot. The Bible say that Satan, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's done a lot of stealing. He's done a lot of killing. He's done a lot of destroying. But I want to tell you, he has not outworked the Lord. He has not outworked the Lord. So I want to ask you to go ahead and stand. That's what we're going to do. If you want to come and you want to pray about who we are, what we're about, what God's vision is for us, then you can come down and you can pray, Lord, restrike my spirit, rekindle my heart for you, rekindle the call that you have on my life.